Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is the Scummy Mummies podcast.
Hello there, welcome to the Scummy Mummies podcast. I'm Ellie Gibson.
Yes, you are, and I'm Helen Thorne.
Yes, and we have a wonderful guest for you today, listener, bracket. we're never really sure.
Yeah.
It's Kemi Telford.
Hey!
Hi, Kemi, thanks for coming.
Thanks for inviting me.
Oh, you're very welcome. Now, because you're a multimedia node, Kemi, why don't you introduce yourself? How would you describe Kemi Telford?
First of all, what is a something node?
A multimedia node. You're a multimedia. You're like you're a woman of many talents. You've got your Instagram. you make shit. You sell things. I don't know. You know. You do all these things. What do you do?
I am a businesswoman. A businesswoman.
Strong.
All business all the time.
Serving executive realness.
I'm just a businesswoman.
And you're a mother of two girls.
I'm a mother of two, and I'm married to John. John is.
Can you not remember? I thought you were like, you can't remember his name. John. What is it?
What's his name?
Please. Is it Humphreys?
John Lewis.
I'm married to John Telford.
Oh, okay.
Just John Telford. He's a wonderful man, and I've got two girls, Ola and Laurie. Ola is 11. I think she's 11. And Laura is 9.
Okay.
Lovely.
So you can barely remember your husband's name or your children's ages, but you're a businesswoman. That's what we have to remember. 100% businesswoman. Now, Kemi, can you remember the first time we met?
Is it the Selfish Mothers event?
No. Hold on. I'll give you a clue. None of us were wearing many clothes. In fact, two of us were wearing any clothes.
Oh, yeah. Yes, that was the first time. How could I even forget that? And you guys made me laugh so much.
Aww.
You made me laugh. You made me feel comfortable being naked around you.
Yes. we should explain. It sounds like we were at a sex party.
It was like a sex party, wasn't it?
It might have been for you, love.
What was that you used to cover your...
We were at Natalie Lee, who's called Star Meals, Sunday's Warrior Woman photo shoot, and it was all about us loving our bodies. And she said to us, you can be as naked as you like. And so Ellie and I were naked, and everyone else was in glamorous attire, which you were.
But you had, the fish cake. Was it fish fingers?
Fish finger necklace.
You used it to cover your bits, and I was thinking, these ladies are mad.
But you looked amazing. You had, like, sort of really sexy, I think it was blue, set, like a sexy lingerie set.
Yeah, do you know, I wasn't going to do it. It was a day before I decided to go to do it. So I had to go to M&S. I mean, I don't even know my bra size. So I had to beg a lady to please measure me because
did
I just wear...
Did she work in the shop?
No, just a passerby.
One of the shopkeepers.
Somebody help me! You just put a boob in each hand and went, what do you think? D cup? I don't know.
She just went to the sandwich
because
bar.
It's all saggy. I just wear, you know, sports bras. Ugh. And with sports bra, you don't need any kind of measurement. You just buy what you think fits.
Yeah,
right.
So the day before, I had to go to M&S to buy that blue bra and pants.
Very sexy.
And since then, I've not gone back to buy any other bra. I'm wearing the old ones.
Well, you've got a bra and pants now. Why do you need another one? You've got one.
Done.
And you had these amazing shoes on.
Yes. And was it you that commented on my shoes?
Yes, and they had sort of like crystals and jewels on them.
High heels,
And we said, they're lovely shoes. And what did you say? They are my sex shoes.
Oh my God. Oh my goodness. Can you imagine me wrapping my legs with those shoes around my husband's neck?
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, I wasn't going to, but I mentioned it. It's hard to get the image out of my head. Poor old John Lewis.
John Telford.
Whatever. Are they, I love that you have, are they really your sex shoes?
Well, sort of when I want to zhuzh things up.
Oh, we all know what we're talking about, yes.
When I'm role playing.
Oh, role playing.
With some whips and some...
Oh, yes. Nice. And some sparkly shoes.
I can't believe I'm having these conversations with you.
I mean, welcome to the podcast. This is...
I was inspired by your sex shoes and I've written you a song. Would you like to hear it?
Please do.
Oh, I can't wait.
Sing away.
Okay. I'd like to hear it.
Okay, ready?
Sex shoes, she's got sex shoes. They were made of velvet and she was in the nude. Sex shoes, she's got sex shoes. And she's a horny mum.
Yeah! Oh, you are bad.
You are welcome.
You're naughty.
You're going to sing that, aren't you? You could.
Do you know what I'll do tonight?
Oh, do tell me.
I'm going to put on those shoes because of that song.
Excellent.
And I'll sing it as I'm
doing your business. Excellent.
She is
a businesswoman.
Yeah.
Sex business.
Yeah. You're in for a treat tonight, John Lewis. All right.
John Telford.
Oh, whatever. I just don't care. It's funnier, isn't it?
I think that's the podcast done, Ellie.
Yeah.
Screw her business. I think we've found the real Kimmy.
Oh, should we just get into it properly?
Okay.
All right. Tell us about your family.
As I said, I've got two girls and we are very loud. I'm Nigerian, so very loud.
Is that a Nigerian trait?
It is. Okay? I mean, when Nigerians are speaking, you hear them. Shout.
Even if you're not in Nigeria, honestly, you can hear it.
The first time I met my husband, John, he's white,
Lewis.
British, John Telford. He's white, British.
Do you get a discount at Waitrose?
He heard me speaking on the phone to my friend. He thought I was having an argument with my friend.
Really?
And he said, yeah. And the next thing I said, laughing, he said, oh, I thought you were having an argument with her. So that's how loud we are.
Why do you think this? Do you think it has to do with like a cultural trait? Is it to do with the language? Like, what is it?
Because the language is quite aggressive. And I think with Nigerians, I don't know. It's just something that we do.
Right.
We just, do you know, when I'm on the train and I hear, before I even hear what the person is saying, I know when it's a Nigerian because they are really loud. We're just really loud people.
I think my children might be Nigerian. Just saying, guys.
Well, send them to me. I need more children. John will give me more children. So send them to me.
Well, it's probably
I'll make them even louder.
You can afford it. Christmas is coming. The advert's a big hit. So,
when did you come out from Nigeria to the UK?
I came over 20 years ago. Mm. I actually came because I had a boyfriend here. And he was like, come over. And I came over.
Sainsbury. You came over?
But I came over and I was in love with him. He was my first serious boyfriend. He moved here. Come over. I did. But it didn't work out.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
So you stayed anyway?
I stayed. I actually did a law degree here. And I met John when I was about going back and I decided to settle here.
So do you prefer Britain to Nigeria or is it that you just can't be asked to go back?
So I went back to Nigeria 3 years ago and I realised that Nigeria is not my home anymore. Mm. Britain is now my home, which is quite weird.
Yeah.
Because I'm a typical Nigerian woman. But I think because I've been here over 20 years, they don't even accept me anymore. They now think I'm westernized.
Oh, you're a foreigner, yeah.
They now see me as a foreigner in Nigeria. Even my sisters just think I'm a bit different.
With your sex shoes?
With my sex shoes.
Who does she think she is, they say?
My velvet sex shoes.
She got a discount.
But my views, even with my brother, my views are now completely different because I've sort of re-educated myself. My principles are different from the typical Nigerian principles. My life is not really typical Nigerian anymore. Does that sort of make sense?
Yeah.
So I think being in the West and living with other people that are not Nigerian has changed my views about a lot of things.
Oh, like what?
Like, let me see. Like, when I was growing up, I grew up in a Christian home where I was told, like, being gay is frowned upon. You know, it's not, it's against God's rules. But my views have actually changed because I'm like, love is love. I don't care who you love. As long as, you know, you're not hurting anybody, and I'm not God, I cannot judge you. I cannot say whether it's wrong or right. Mm. You just love somebody that, you know, the society thinks or Christianity thinks is not right.
Mm. You put your sex shoes on for whoever you like, son.
Exactly. That's just me. But so, yeah. That's one of the things.
Yeah. I think that's quite a major thing. That's a really...
It's a big thing.
That is amazing.
It's a big thing for me to change my views.
Is there a difference in parenting styles, do you think? I mean, everybody has a different parenting style, but do you think, speaking generally, is growing up as a child in Nigeria versus here and being parented, is that a very different experience?
Oh, yeah, it's completely different. Mm-hmm. My children speak back to me and they have their own views and opinions. When I was growing up, you don't have an opinion. You just do, or you don't have... You're a child. You just don't speak back to your parents. My children would stand up to me and say, no, Mum, that's not fair. You know, and I'm like, how dare you? You know, but when I was growing up, you couldn't do that. You just don't speak back to your parents. You're seen and not heard.
Sounds a lot easier in many ways, to be really honest.
And is it still the same, like, with your siblings? Like, do you feel a little bit of a clash with parenting styles or decisions?
My
you
sister make. Is still a bit like that, yeah. And she's got a daughter that is now going to university, and I had to, you know, sit down with her, with my sister, and I said, you've got to change your parenting style because it's not working. If you want a good relationship with your daughter, you need to change it, because they were always clashing.
Mm. That's brave. That's really brave, though, I think, because basically sit someone down, especially your sister, and go, you're doing it wrong. Was that a scary thing to do?
No.
Wicked.
No, it wasn't. I just told her, you know,
but she was wrong. So
She was wrong, because you want your daughter to be able to come to you to talk to you about stuff. But her daughter couldn't do that, so they're working on that relationship.
She knew
she was wrong, but she did. I think the thing is, nobody had ever had the nerve to tell her. So I told her.
Kimmy, will you tell me if my parenting style is
of course I will tell you.
Excellent. I think I need help.
Of course, I'm going to tell you.
But that's what I love about your Instagram account, and especially your stories, is that you just, everything comes from your heart, and that you when you feel something deeply, you want to share it with people, and that's what I am so drawn to you and love your,
because Helen also has no filters.
No,
so yeah, you're kindred spirits in many ways.
but the thing is, Kimmy, I love when you incorporate both your feelings, but also you maybe use a Nigerian proverb to frame it or to inspire a discussion about that particular topic.
I really like proverbs that tell women to big up themselves. So I think my favorite is, especially when I'm having imposter syndrome, I say this to myself, it's about a lizard that actually fell off a tree.
Right.
Now, lizards, and an Iroko tree is one of the tallest it's one of the tallest trees in Nigeria. So normally a lizard wouldn't go on top of a tree that high. So my favorite one is, when a lizard goes on top of an Iroko tree and it falls down, looks around, nobody praises it, it praises himself. Does that make sense? So basically what I'm saying is, if nobody praises you about the good things you've done, like being brave or doing something amazing for yourself, don't wait for other people to validate you. Just validate yourself.
I love that. Have you got any more nuggets? Any more proverbs you can share with us?
What are the proverbs? Okay, like I shared one today about the first step being the most difficult. You know, when you want to make a decision to start something amazing, the first step is always the most difficult, something like that.
Yeah.
That's like one of my favourite proverbs, British proverbs. A journey of 1,000 miles begins with an Uber.
Exactly. Oh, no, not an Uber.
What, do you not know that one?
No, I don't know that one.
You've been here long enough, Kemi, come on.
No, not that one.
What have you learnt from your own daughters? Because I know you've got your own background that has influenced who you are. But what are you learning from your younger daughters about, I guess, yourself?
When I saw my daughter, Ola, when she was born, the first thing that occurred to me is this: I cannot love another human being if I don't love myself. There's no way I can love that girl unconditionally if I'm messed up. And I don't want to mess her up. You know the way you have this generational, Nigerians would call it generational curse, where your parents do something to you and you do it to your kids and things like that. I had to sort of work on myself because I looked at her and I thought, oh my God, me being Yvonne or Kemi, I can actually sort of mess you up if I don't work on myself. So that is, I think that is what they have taught me.
Yeah.
To love myself before I can love any other person.
Mm. Yeah. Like the thing we've talked about before, like the airplane thing of putting the oxygen mask on yourself first. Otherwise you're no good to the children. You can't help them. So for you, what does that mean in practice? How do you kind of work on or look after yourself?
I always put myself first. I'm quite selfish with my needs, even when it comes to my kids. Like, if I can remember when I started exercising, I wake up 5 a.m. to exercise and to read my books. And if my daughters wake up, I tell them to go and wake their father up. Don't wake me up. This is my time. I woke up at 5 a.m. to give my time, to give myself, you know, time.
Yeah.
If you need anything, wake your father up. He's sleeping. Go and wake him up. Yeah. You know.
He's quite busy though, running John Lewis. Yeah. He's got a big day ahead.
His name is John Telford.
What? Anyway.
I keep reminding you, John Telford. He's going to listen to this and you write your letter.
Wow.
My name is John
Will
Telford.
Will it be on Heather's notepaper? Very exciting.
Comes with a voucher.
Can have a voucher, yeah. And you're a feminist, aren't you? You're a strong feminist, would you say?
Do you know something? I think I am. I don't know. When people ask me about feminists, because I don't really read a lot of books about feminism and things like that, I think I am.
Do you think that women deserve equal rights are as worthy as men?
Oh, yeah.
Then you're a feminist.
Am I?
Yeah.
I think I'm not a placard-carrying feminist. I don't know.
I think that's the brush or the image that people brandy on feminism, because they're a bit scared or they like to demonise women. But essentially, all that feminism means is you want the same rights.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
One of the greatest tricks patriarchy has ever pulled is convincing people, or suggesting even, that feminism is this loaded word and it means you hate men or you want more than men or you think you're
men.
Better than men.
Oh, wow.
Know. We've heard about the
That's
shoes.
That's how I've got the shoes.
But the thing is that to get to the position we are, we've still got a long way to go, there had to be some massive changes. And so the original feminists, the people who wanted it, had to do some big moves to even just to break into society and to be heard.
Your Instagram very much suggests you're very into raising strong girls and raising to be independent. Mm. And yeah, so what are your tips for raising a strong girl, Kemi?
I think call a vagina a vagina. Don't call it anything else.
Panini?
No. Just call it what it is.
Coco
just,
Hernandez.
Just be very honest with, like, I'm very honest with my daughters. I don't lie to them about stuff. I tell my girls, you know, I wouldn't want you to have sex, but if you do, please let me know. Don't go talking to your friends about such things come to me, because your friends are just babies. They don't know what they're doing. Just come and talk to me. So just be very honest with your girls, with your daughters and your sons. Mm-hmm. Because if you're not honest to them, somebody out there will be.
But do they? What if sometimes like they're like, oh, Mom, I can't believe you said vagina. Oh, I don't want to talk about it. Or are yours not like that?
No, mine are not like that because when they were babies, we used to call it Wee Wee House.
Wee Wee House.
The first we've ever heard.
I have never heard that.
The Wee Wee House.
The Wee Wee House.
Did you invent that, Kemi?
Yes, I just thought, what can I call this thing that is shaped like whatever?
Is yours shaped like a house?
It is.
Blimey, how many bedrooms has it got?
10.
I tell you what, since I had kids, mine's had an extension. Got a conservatory up there. Hot tub out the back.
You are so bad. You're a bad influence on me. I used to be a good girl before I came here.
Oh, anyway.
It's all downhill.
It's gone downhill now. Yeah,
this is corruption as we speak. So, Wee Wee House.
We used to call it Wee Wee House, but when they started nursery, I was like, okay, Wee Wee House stops from the day I hand you over to somebody else.
Because they're not going to know what the fuck it means, Kate.
Exactly. I was like, so we're going to start calling it vagina.
Yeah.
So from, I think when they were 4, we've been calling it vagina. Nobody's allowed to wash a vagina anymore, not even me. So I had all that conversation with them. I had a conversation about if somebody touches you in a funny way and you feel funny, just you know, let me know. Mm. Or tell your teacher or, you know, just... So we had that conversation from a very young age.
Mm-hmm.
So
really
we don't, you know, they don't feel funny with such names because that's what we do. We just had that conversation.
I would say we're too vagina friendly in my house because my daughter likes to just announce it, even in public. Like the other day, my son and daughter were at Sainsbury's and Hugo did a little, you know, like grabbed his willy and I said, do you need the toilet? And he's like, yes. And I looked over to Matilda and she had sort of pointed in that area and I said, do you need the toilet? She said, no, I have an itchy vagina. I mean, we've all been there, to be fair.
I know, in Sainsbury's, I was like, thank you. But
what did people look at you that?
I couldn't look anyone in the eye. But I mean, I'm still that person because my mum was a bit funny and a bit, you know, embarrassed about talking about things. And I think I've still got that. I'm educating myself about being, and she's asking me questions because she's 9 about sex and things. The other night she said, Mummy, you know when Daddy put his sperm in you, what, did it feel tingly? How long was it in there for? And she said, and how long did you have sex for? Was it, how long did that take? And I said, look, I can't remember, but I think it was about 10 minutes.
I was incredibly drunk.
Why did you lie?
Yeah, so that's it. But yeah, I've had to mature because I just like, I don't want her to feel the ickiness that I felt about it all.
I don't know, but when I was growing up, you're not even allowed to talk about sex.
No.
You're not even allowed. I can remember the first time my father knew I was having sex. And he sat me down with my stepmom and they were telling me, my stepmom, who was trying to be liberal, said something like, oh, you know, you can have sex, but not marathon sex. Marathon sex. I didn't know what she was talking about.
Why not?
And you know something?
Don't put your wee-wee about, house.
don't let it run a marathon, my wee-wee house. But, you know, she was just talking. And I'm thinking, do you know, then I was not even enjoying sex.
No.
I was just doing it because my boyfriend was older than me and I just thought that was the right thing to do.
Yeah.
But you just don't, you don't talk about it, which is quite hypocritical in a way because, I don't know, it's just, even up to now, Nigerians don't like to talk about sex.
Okay, so that's a really...
So it's still there where I can talk to my daughters because I don't want them to make the mistakes that I made.
Mm-hmm.
So I talked to them about it, but even in Nigerian society now, it's all... My sister goes home during the Christmas holiday with her husband, and she doesn't sleep in the same bedroom.
Really?
No. Even though
they're
your
married?
Your parents don't... You know, your
sounds
parents,
lovely.
And they have kids.
Well, I mean...
She has 4 kids.
You know, it's miracle births.
I know.
Every single one.
So she can't sleep in the same bedroom.
Right. My granny used to do that to my mum and dad. Like, when we used to stay there, my dad had to sleep in one room and my mum was at the other end of the house with us in a room.
Oh my granny wouldn't let... God, your dad must have been over the moon. That sounds dreamy.
That sounds brilliant.
I know, it's a poor mum. And you said that.
I mean, that's, you know, I'm never going to Australia or Nigeria. That's what I'm saying.
We're very loud.
Very loud.
And we don't have sex.
Yeah, of course. Are your daughters interested in their Nigerian heritage? Like, my son's got a Scottish grandma, he couldn't give a fuck. Is it like that, or are they into it?
I think with my kids, because I listen to a lot of Nigerian music, but they're really very curious about their Nigerian background. They are.
Mm.
I think because I'm very Nigerian. I tell them Nigerian proverbs. When they annoy me, I curse them in Nigerian language.
Oh, come on, please. What would you say?
Nigerian language is really bad. The rude ones. But I could say to my daughter, Olodo, that means you stupid little child. Or that means I'll break your head, you know.
I'm going to start doing that.
Nigerian language
is very... We need this
very,
jumper.
Yeah.
Nigerian language is actually very... how would I put it? When you want to insult somebody, it gets into their, you know, into the core of who they are. Yeah. So I wouldn't use that to sort of insult my kids, but the light ones, I just, you know.
So have you taken them back to Nigeria? Not yet.
I was going to take Ola when she was 6 months old. And the doctor advised against it because she had not had some jabs. Mm-hmm. So I was told not to even try it. But I've not taken them back.
Is there something holding you back? I mean, have you got really mixed feelings about?
No, you see, like, my father and I were not really in a good place in our relationship. And I was not ready to deal with the issues we had, even though it's sorted now. I was not ready to deal with the issues. And I know that if I should go back to Nigeria, it was something I had to deal with because I had to see him.
How did you fix it?
Well, my sister died, I think, 2 years ago.
Sorry.
So I had to go back and I saw him and we sat down and we had a really deep conversation. When I came back, he went back to his old ways.
Hmm.
Then 6 months later, my brother died.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh,
and that sort of changed his mind or his views about life and how fragile and delicate life can be. And because of that, he's now making amends. You know, he's trying to be a really good dad. And I like him now. I never used to like him. You know, you can love somebody but not like the person. And sometimes, you know, sometimes I love my kids, but sometimes when they do some really horrible things, I'm thinking, right now, I don't like you.
Yeah.
So same thing with my dad. For a very long time, I didn't like him because he was not just a kind person.
Mm.
You know, and I think he didn't know how to be kind. He just didn't know how to connect with his kids. So he took the loss of two kids for him to know that, okay, I want to have a good relationship with the ones I have left.
Mm.
And sometimes that's the way some people learn. It takes, you know, tragedy for them to sort of know what is important.
So do you feel like you've consciously tried to be the opposite kind of parent to what your dad is like?
It wasn't conscious. I think because I started working on myself as a human being. I wanted to be the best version of who I was created to be. And that sort of sit its way into how I parent my kids.
Mm. So what are the things for you then that, like, you know, you need to do, do you reckon, to work on yourself?
I read a lot. I exercise. I've gotten to a point where I try not to judge people. I just accept them. And
that's hard, though. That's hard.
It's hard, but I try not to. When someone annoys me, and lately I've been having a lot of people annoy me.
In the last half hour.
No, I'm having a good time. But when people annoy me now, I will talk to somebody I trust about it. Not in a gossipy kind of way, but just to get it out of my system.
Mm.
But I try not to, I just try to understand where that person is coming from and why that person is so irritating.
Yeah.
So I do that a lot. So I try not to judge. I try not to gossip. I've actually forgotten the question.
No, that's good. It's
no,
good.
No, that's really good because I think our lives, especially, and we can talk more about it, about Instagram and being more involved in people's lives than we ever have in the history of time.
Yeah.
We know so much about people we don't really know
about. Yeah.
But then we can get sucked into their lives and their the way they live their life and you go, oh, I wouldn't do that and all that sort of thing. And that can be quite overwhelming. Or jealousy or comparing yourself. And I think that's, you know, there are times where I find myself going into that hole of going, oh, you know.
Do you?
Yeah, but just in terms of like going, where am I at? Because I can see where everyone else is on their journey.
But your journey is so different.
Yeah, exactly.
Your journey is unique. Nobody's doing what you do. So I can't just imagine you trying to compare yourself to anybody out there because there's nobody out there like you. Yeah. So I'm quite surprised.
No,
because
I'm not saying
you're really unique.
Yeah.
And there's no other person like you.
There's nobody
doing what you're doing.
Yeah, exactly.
And if somebody tries to copy what you're doing, they're never going to do it right because you guys are unique.
Yeah, no, that's true. But I think that comes from, you know, insecurities and all that sort of stuff. That you know, occasionally when you're on a dip, you're kind of going, oh, I'm not as good as I could be, or whatever. But it doesn't happen all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's something I have to work on. That they're my own foibles and you know,
I'm actually quite surprised.
No, I know I have lots of moments of weaknesses and lying on the floor going, oh no, I can't do it. But yeah, I think fuck, there is no one else.
No, there's no one else. You know, there's just because when I see you, I'm thinking, you know, there's some people you see, you're like, oh, you're copying that person. That's not really you. You're fake. You know,
this is her not judging people.
It's not a judgment. She just knows.
She's just annoyed. It's not a judgment.
You're not judging. You just know.
It's just an observation.
You just say that. You know. But with you, with what you guys do, even with your styling thing, it's just so different. So I don't see why you should
just
go
come
down
home with me.
So I don't see why you should ever go down that route thinking.
No. And it just and I think that's just. But that's when you have to step away, isn't it, from social media?
She said, I've never had the urge to step away. When people step away, I'm thinking, why?
I have to force myself to step in half the time. I
you know,
can't be
you're
asked.
Thinking, yeah. Why? Yeah. I don't know why. When people say, oh, I've taken a break from social media, I'm thinking, okay, I've never thought about that before.
Yeah, that's interesting, isn't
it? I've never, ever had the urge to step away, maybe because I just don't. I use it for what it is. I never compare myself to somebody else. I've never had an urge to, I've never had to compare myself to anybody else because there's no Nigerian woman out there screaming or with a bald head, a Nigerian woman that looks like me.
Yeah.
There's just nobody there's nobody like me out there.
I agree. I know what you mean because I sort of feel the same way as, you know, a Nigerian woman. I feel very similar. I feel the same as you, but sometimes I really need to step away because when I look at social media, it makes me feel bad. Not about myself, but because often there's rowing on there, either personal differences or friends falling out or people arguing about Brexit or racism or, you know, there's just sadness and
But
and
I've never...
Rage.
Do you know something? I've never seen that.
We need to follow the people.
Well, honestly,
social media... Like, are you a fucking Bebo? What are you doing?
I'll tell you. I've never seen that. Number one, I follow my customers,
right,
and my customers are beautiful people. I follow the people, exactly. I follow the people that wouldn't just annoy me.
All right, I'm done. This is it. Kemi's philosophy of life, basically, Helen, you have to feel nice about yourself.
Yeah.
And I have to unfollow everybody I know.
Yeah.
Perfect. We're done. We're absolutely done. That's
good.
Great.
Can we get into Kemi's amazing business? Because we're sort of going into it through the Instagram hole door.
Yes.
Through the Wee house. Can we talk about your amazing business and how it started?
So when I became a mum, the arrangement was that one of us would stay at home, mm-hmm. between my husband and I. Actually, we spoke about that before we got married. I think some things should be talked about before people get married. He earned far more than me, and I stayed at home.
Well, he's got a very important job. What are they, 300 stores now nationwide?
John Lewis. John Telford.
Don't know who that is.
John Telford.
We're getting this on a t-shirt, John Lewis, John Telford. It's just the best time of my life.
I think it got to a point where I hated being a stay-at-home mom. Yeah. I was so angry.
Where was it? Were they still babies at that point? Was it quite soon?
I think they were like 3, 4. It started when they were like 3, 4. And I knew I was losing myself as a woman. And they just saw John as, you know, the guy that earns the money, mommy cleans, mommy, you know. And I was like, I've had enough. When you start losing yourself as a woman, you become resentful. You become really angry. And it showed, you know, I wasn't just happy. And I thought, what can I do? I started writing a blog from a blog. Nobody wanted to work with me. No brand wanted to work with me. I wasn't just what they were looking for. I didn't have enough followers. So, I decided to start another blog. And I monetized it. I did events, I did so many things, and I knew it was not, I was just copying other people. Oh, somebody's doing events, I'm sure I can do an event. So I did that. It just didn't work. And
So what happened?
So I had a few people that were reading my blog, and I bought 10 tote bags, printed them, everything came up to £50. I sold them, they sold out. I reinvested the money. And and it's grown.
Wow. And now you don't just do bags now, you do fashion, amazing jewellery, fabulous t-shirts. And has that all just, was that in a vision or?
Do you know, I never really had a vision of what I wanted.
Yeah.
I think I knew from the age of 6 that I wanted to own a shop that sold clothes to women.
Yeah.
But you thought, if I marry John Lewis, I'm halfway there.
Exactly. Exactly. John Telford. John Telford.
Who? What?
With 300 stores.
I am going to stop. I'm going to stop. It's
no, I love it. I love it.
So but you always went to shops since you were little? Yeah.
From when I was little, but I was told that when you own a shop, you don't make a lot of money. So my father said, go and study law. And I studied law. So, but I wasn't fulfilled because I've gone off my path. I think when we're born, we have a path that we're meant to follow. People will have opinions about our path and what we should be doing. But so I followed my father's path because he wanted to be a lawyer, but his parents couldn't afford it. So he told me to be a lawyer because I had to fulfill the dream he couldn't fulfill. So I studied law, worked with a pharmaceutical company for a while, and I just decided that, you know, I was going to go back. Actually, I didn't decide I was going to go back to fashion. It just happened. Hmm. It just happened. And I think it has to do with working on yourself. When you work on yourself, the path that you're meant to follow in life will come.
One of the things that you're known for in your business and the things you make is you like choosing motivational words or words that you think would empower women. So what are the...
I use Queen a lot. I use I Am Enough. I Am Enough was the first slogan that I had. And that is because those three words, not words. Yeah, they're words, aren't they? Those three words saved me. They just, you know, made me realize that, in fact, I'm unique. There's nobody like me.
Yeah.
So me standing in front of a mirror naked, saying that to myself, made me actually believe it. So really?
How much do you have to do that?
I did that a while because one thing about human beings is when you stand in front of a mirror, you don't really look at the person in the mirror. You're just looking at how you look. You don't really look into the eyes of the person, the image that is looking back at you. So the first time I tried to do it, I heard Oprah Winfrey say it. She had a guest on, oh, stand in front of the mirror and tell yourself, I love you. And I can remember the next morning I woke up and I, you know, walked into my bathroom naked and I stood in front of the mirror and I couldn't just look at the woman in the mirror. It was a woman that I'd never seen before. And I can remember literally running out of the bathroom. It freaked me out.
Hmm.
The person I was looking back at me, I'd never seen before. It was like looking at a stranger. And I couldn't even tell the stranger, I love you, because I'd never seen that person before. Does that sort of make sense?
Yeah.
Sorry, this is quite deep.
No. I've got goosebumps. Loving it.
I find it really hard because I'm not very good at eye contact even. But looking at the mirror, I find that really... It is very confronting because you skirt around it. You go, oh, no, everything's fine.
It's really very deep. And it's a lot of... It's something that women never do. Look at the person. You see, we sort of worry about the body. You know, do I look good? And you look at the flab. But when you start to see the person in the mirror, because I've always said our body is a shell. It's not us.
Mm.
So it took me almost a month for me to be able to look at that woman in the mirror, look at me in the mirror and say, I love you. I mean, I'll look at the mirror and I'll just run out. Yeah, after my daughter was born, I went through this transition of, you know, I don't really want to mess her up or fuck her up. Or, do you understand? I wanted her to be whole. And in order for her to be whole, I have to be whole.
Yeah.
There was a day that my daughter, I noticed that she was beginning to pick up my behavior of pleasing people.
Yeah.
And I could see it. And, you know, we had a play date and I could see it. And I thought, oh, my God.
Hmm.
She's actually doing that thing that all women do where you start doing what your mother does because you think that's the right thing. And I thought, I've got to fix this. Nigerians call it footmat. That means a doormat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, footmat to another human being. I want her to know that, you know, she's unique, she's beautiful, you know, she doesn't have to please people for people to like her. So, yes.
And then out of that came your business, which is now Gangbusters.
Yeah, that came, I mean, everything about my business is tied to my story.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is why the business is doing well, because a lot of people can see themselves in my story, because we all have the same story. It just comes in different packages.
Yeah.
So what advice would you give somebody who's maybe listening to this and thinking, oh, but I'm in that hole. I'm in that thing where I may be resenting this whole thing. And I love my kids, but I'm finding it really hard. But maybe I want to do something else, but I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to work on myself. I don't know what to do with my life. I don't know what my path is supposed to be. What advice would you give them?
Oh. That's a hard one.
Well, that's why I asked you. So if I knew the fucking answer, I'd just say it, Kevin.
Well, what's the first step?
That's a better, that's...
What got you out of the hole?
I think what got me out of the hole was knowing that I have a purpose. Everybody's born with a purpose. The thing that makes you unique is your selling point. And you have to do some things to find your purpose in life, or you're just you're not really living, you're just existing. So I think for that woman that might be listening to this right now and she doesn't know what her purpose is, take time out, you know, maybe in the morning, like I meditate in the morning, take time out and just silence everything. And listen to your own voice. I don't know.
I think maybe try stuff like you're saying, and maybe think about what you simple things. I like think about what you did like as a kid, or what, because I didn't start comedy until after I'd had my first baby, and it was about 18 months after he was born. And I had that thing. I didn't have the rage, but I had that sense of, is there something else I could be doing in my life that isn't this? Because this is great, but the first step I remember was just basically writing an email saying, can I come on your comedy course? I didn't go on that course thinking, well, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to switch careers and become a stand-up comedian. I'm going to meet an Australian in a shipping container and we're going to become a double act. We're going to wear gold cat suits and, you know, and then Kemi Telford's going to come to my house. I didn't have that plan. I think sometimes we can get frightened by thinking we've got to have this huge dream and this big goal and it's got to be that. And maybe sometimes it's just about trying out something you've always wondered about or fancied and then seeing where it takes
you. I think you've said it, because your journey is sort of similar to my journey. I didn't plan to do what I'm doing right now. It just sort of happened.
And
you took the first step.
And also it doesn't always work. So other things I've tried include learning Italian, being a scuba dive master.
Really?
Yeah. Learning Kung Fu. Now, I'm better at some of those things than other things, and I've made a career out of none of them. But I don't regret trying any one of them because it was always fun trying them.
Yeah. And when we go to Italian restaurants, Ellie can order things very authentically, so that's great. And
that wasn't a waste of a year.
No, but I think we sometimes are conditioned not to treat ourselves, or when you've been a mother for a few years, you just get you forget what it's like to do something for yourself. You feel the guilt, like you have a finite amount of time in the day. You're like, well, I could be doing the washing, or I should be doing this for the kids, or I should be hand making pasta or whatever. And it's a big leap to kind of go, I'm just, as you say, being a bit selfish and putting yourself first.
I think I've had a mother guilt thing. I've never had it. Honestly, I was having a conversation with a friend the other day, and women were talking about guilt. I've never had that guilt. I sort of, you know, we sort of sat down and analysed it, and we came to a conclusion that we did things at a time, or at a time when we're ready. So when my daughter was born, 6 months, she was still living in our bedroom, like most babies do.
Yeah.
And I can remember people telling me, even my husband saying, okay, it's time for us to move her into her bedroom. I was not ready.
Yeah.
If I had moved her earlier than I was ready, guess what? I would have had the mother guilt thing.
Yeah.
I've never really listened to other people telling me, oh, you know, you're meant to be doing this, or you're meant to be cooking organic pasta, or you're meant to... No.
Yeah.
So I think if women did things when they want to do it and not listen to the society, which is hard, I know that, it's really hard. I think the mother guilt thing will be lessened.
Yeah. Amazing, guys. Amazing scenes. I feel like we're just, you know...
Yes.
I feel like we could...
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Talk all night, yes, but
there is a game to do.
We've got
Ellie.
A game for us,
yes. Right. So this game was inspired by regular podcast and our occasional driver Steve Hill, and his phrase is "Every hole's a goal."
Wow.
Every hole. Oh Lord.
Is that not an old Nigerian proverb?
No.
Okay.
I'm going to do some scenarios, and you guys, we all have to say whether this turns you on or not. So I'm going to say, would it turn you on if he put his hairy toe?
Oh, one. Definitely not. Whatever it is, almost certainly not.
In my bush.
Oh, no.
Okay, so that's the game. So, okay. So would you be turned on by this? I'm going to put those back in, all right?
See?
Sex. What? Is hairy toe in my bush?
Yeah.
No, keep your hairy toe away and leave my bush alone.
Also, shave it, you dirty bastard. I almost look at a hairy
toe. This is good. It's good to know what you want,
ladies.
See
what you've turned me into?
Right. Would I be turned on by overhanging guts through my hair?
Wow.
That's really niche.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
As a sex practice.
Yeah.
Nobody's ever asked me to do that.
No.
If they can rub their guts through my hair.
No.
I wouldn't be turned on, but I wouldn't...
Why not?
If it makes you happy. If it makes you happy, son, you go.
Give it a go.
Yes.
Your turn.
I'm very adventurous, Kemi. I'm very experimental.
That's the thing.
Okay.
A pointy nose.
I like a pointy nose.
Very good. Well, then let's see where it's going.
Up my bum.
Pointy
nose up my bum. Actually, I think I could enjoy that.
Oh, yes. Excellent. There we go. Oh.
And the game is off. Good.
All right,
for you.
Good. All right. Okay.
Yeah, now, wow. John Pinocchio Lewis, as they'll be calling him tomorrow at work.
I might try that tonight.
Now, entire arm.
Entire arm. No, nowhere. Nobody wants that.
In my bush.
Oh. Well, people do want that. It's a niche interest, isn't it?
I'm happy with a minimum effort. Yeah. So, yeah, no, thank you.
If that's what floats your
minimum
boat,
pressure.
For you.
Minimum pressure. That's, yeah, just a hint of something. That's it.
Okay. Two thumbs. I mean, that's more than I'd usually choose.
Yeah.
Two thumbs through my flaps.
Oh, that sounds
great.
Your flaps.
The doors
to your wee-wee house.
Okay.
Yes. The swing doors to your wee-wee house.
Two thumbs through your flaps.
But that sounds all right.
That's quite.
I imagine someone like shuffles a pack of cards and they go...
You're giving me ideas here.
Oh, yes.
You're into it, Kemi, all right?
Yeah, cool.
Bushy.
A bushy beard.
I like that.
Bushy beard. I want it somewhere really nice.
Okay.
Under my tongue.
That
is not nice.
That's weird.
No.
That is really weird.
Oh, okay.
I prefer bushy beard somewhere else.
Okay.
What are we talking about?
Bush on bush. Okay. Solid cock.
Oh, okay.
In my ear.
Ooh.
No, I don't think so.
No.
Come on, be adventurous.
God, you're so uptight, Helen. We've all had cock in our ear before. God.
Let it speak to you.
Hello?
Through its one eye. Oh, my God.
Like a trumpet.
Let it speak to you. What are you talking about? Oh, I don't want to hear what it's got to say.
I can't wait to see.
Sometimes you've got to listen.
Not to that.
Do you know, you guys have turned me into a rascal. What is this?
I haven't heard anyone say rascal since 1954.
I'm a church girl. Look at what you've done to me.
You're bloody not. You like pointy nose.
I'm cocking her ear.
That's in the Sunday service. Don't get that on.
Repent.
Radio 4 at 9:30. Right, should we do one more?
One more.
Yes, please.
Ball sack.
Ooh.
Ball sack. In my mouth.
Ooh. What's that called again, Ellie?
It's the new album, Ball Sack in My Mouth, by... what's that? It's teabagging.
Teabagging, yeah.
What is teabagging?
Anyway, it's ball sack in your mouth, isn't it?
So
why teabag?
Because it's like dunking a teabag in a cup of tea.
Oh, is that what they say?
Yeah.
Oh, you've got... I'm Nigerian. We don't use all this term, so...
Okay.
Yeah. What would you call it in Nigerian, dipping balls in a mouth?
Oh, I'm trying to say obo ni enomi.
Okay, there we are. We are learning so much. This is your face, world service. This is diversity at its finest. What this is.
We're going to win awards.
This is why multiculturalism is the best thing that ever happened to this country. This is exactly it. So we can share this kind of knowledge. Thank you, Kemi. That was amazing, Helen. Oh. I feel like we've learned so much. Mainly about you.
Yeah, about you.
Yeah, but it was great.
Right, is it time for the Scummy Mummy Confessions, Ellie?
Yes, it is. Kemi, have you got a confession you'd like to share?
I think with me, I go to the school, they ask me about, you know, what class is your daughter in? I just don't know. And I say to them, I'm sorry, could you check their names on the school, you know,
computer? Are you at the right school?
You know, I just don't know, or I struggle with their date of birth, and I have to turn to my daughter and say, okay, can you give the gentleman your date of birth? So I just don't have such information in my head.
I mean, fair enough.
No one's going to die.
No one's going to die.
No one's judging you.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, they probably are.
We all are. That's the whole point of this part of the podcast. Well, there we go. That was amazing.
I don't want it to end, but it must.
It must, because otherwise I will reach the menopause before I've finished editing it. That was brilliant. Thank you so much, Kemi. Where can people follow you?
My website is kemitelford.com. For 1 minute there, I forgot. Kemi Tarfon.
What is it? Yeah. And Kemi spelled K-E-M-I.
Kemi Telford.com on Instagram. I'm Kemi Telford. I don't really do Facebook, but I've got a presence there. So that's it.
You can, of course, find us at Scummy Mummies on all of the things. Our book is still in print
currently,
and we're doing loads of shows all over the country.
That's right. So we've got our big Christmas tour, but in 2019, we're already starting to book, theatres up and down the country, and we'll be going to a big place in August, won't we, Ellie?
Well, you've spaffed your load there.
Yeah.
They'll work it out.
Anyway, go to scummymummies.com for more information and details.
All right. Kemi, you know, what can I say? You've been a brilliant guest.
Oh, thank you for having me. Honestly, I'm honoured. Oh, thank you.
Well, thank you very much for coming. Safe journey home. And you and John Lewis, you have a great night.
With his velvet shoes.
Velvet shoes.
Thank you very much for listening. Until next time.
Bye-bye. Just one ball.
Just
one ball. Okay.
Half a sack.
Between my toes.
Ooh. Strange. Really strange.
It's quite niche, isn't it? But haven't you like kneaded, like, you know, like kneading bread, but with your own toes in his private? What do you know? Like, just give it a little rub with your foot.
No.
Why is that weird? Just give it a rub.
You're beginning to tell us.
Why is that nice? How is that nice?
You need to tell us more.
Yeah.
But, you know, just give it a little in bed with your foot. Just give it a little hello.
What's your foot doing up in by his balls in bed?
No.
Just a little hello with your feet.
Do you do that?
Not clearly. Not all the time. I haven't done it regularly.
You've done it. That's really weird.
Do you know when I've done that? In the bath, when we shared a big bath, and you do a bit of... You know, a little tinkle on your toes.
I don't know what she's talking about, do you?
Well, I know what she's talking about. I don't like it.
Finally, I share something, and this is where it happens. I mean, anyway, never mind. If you once put your foot on your husband's or partner's genitals, just do right in. Give it a go.
Kemi.
Flaccid Willy. Flaccid Willy is when it's not working.
When it's down.
Perhaps because you've touched it with your toes.
Let's see what we can...
Get your verrucas off my ball sack.
Flaccid Willy under my foot.
Oh, no,
there we go. Yeah.
I think that's too similar.
Who has a foot fetish here?
Lots of people do.
I think we know.
It's in the lady with the shoes.
No, we know. It's you.
No. I'm not saying I am. The voice has gone all high. What? This is not about me, it's about you. You have another go.
Oh, it's not now, mate.
No, it's about you.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.